Hey, hi everyone. I hope wherever you are with us and you are enjoying this, you're gonna enjoy this conversation today with Ryan Kelly from Adveris. He's the director of BD, and we had a few conversations with him before, and I was always ended up knowing more than I used to about drug discovery and especially challenging targets. He kindly joined me today. Hey, hi Ryan, thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to join you guys.
Yeah, fantastic. So I'll just kick off. To set the context for today, would you mind describing a little bit about yourself and your journey, which ended up being the director of BD at Abveris?
Sure, yeah. I mean, to start out, what I do right now is I'm our director of business development at Abveris. I've been at Abveris for 6 years at this point. And what I do now is I work on our business development end. So working with our partners. Abveris is an antibody discovery partnering company. So we work with all types of companies using antibodies for therapeutic or diagnostic purposes. We help them generate those new immunochemicals. So I work a lot with our account management team to help us work with our partners and kind of figure out where the handoff point is between our groups and a lot of those projects. So it's kind of a fun place to sit. How I got there, I've been at Abveris really since we got started. So Abveris is about a little bit older than my tenure there. I grew up in Massachusetts. I went to Harvard here in class of 2015, molecular cellular biology. Did a lot of my research at Boston Children's Hospital in the Folkman Angiogenesis program, like excellent program. Did a lot of antibody application work there, and then I met the co-founder shortly after my research work there ended. There was a little bit of time in between, I would say, following my nose, doing some stupid stuff, being a ski bum and stuff like that. Had a lot of fun, but then I was left Boston Children's, knowing I wanted to do something kind of entrepreneurial. Had some ideas of my own, but then when I met the co-founders of Abveris, I saw a lot of potential. So over time, I think there's a lot of things that I did growing up and like before that made me a good fit for Abveris at the phase that we were in. Kind of shameless. I like to talk. I can do really good print design, so like I could make our marketing. I like to tinker with stuff, so while we were developing, I took on a lot of side projects. But then what I like about it now is that it's constantly a stream of working on different antibody development programs that have very disparate start points and endpoints, and there's a lot that goes into antibody development because it's not really a process science as much as we'd like it to be.
That's great. I mean, I want to hear more details about those projects, but maybe before that, so tell us a little bit more about that. Where is the vision, the history, how big the company is, where are you right now, and what do you think will happen to Abveris in the future?
Yeah, I mean, so Abveris, as I mentioned, we were antibody discovery partner. So we partner all of our antibody discovery programs. We don't run our own internal funnel. We're really focused on technology advancements. Right now, we're continuing to hire. So if you know people in the Boston area that are looking for something exciting, but we're growing. We're more than 40 full-time staff now and continuing to add. We're about to open our new headquarters in the city. Right now, our location is slightly outside of the Boston metro area, and we're opening a new headquarters that's a little bit more central. That will equate to like a massive expansion in our R&D space. So, what we're doing with all of that new capacity is, the same thing that we continue to do is antibody discovery, but we're just tackling things from a much broader range of services and capabilities. We've been a like from scratch kitchen for a while now. So, for a lot of antibodies, you could come to us with just the idea, and then we could take things from there and do the antigen and assay development work that comes with those programs in order to develop those reagents. But then, you know, on the other side, there's always more that we can do in terms of like engineering antibodies into the different formats that people use them in, like, you know, multi-specifics, CARs, affinity maturation or affinity dematuration, all those different types of things that we might have to do to like get that antibody to be optimal for like therapeutic applications or things like that. That's what we've been building out a lot now. So Abaris, humanized mouse, VHH antibodies now as well. We've been starting to do some camelid work that's going pretty well. We used a beacon for B-cell screening. We make hybridomas. That's us.
Good. And how big was the company when you joined then?
When I joined, there was three of us.
Wow.
We were a little bit smaller then. We've grown a lot.
And so it is during your time you have done about 100 or more than 100 projects?
Yeah. And, you know, over time, those have all like look different, right? So like when we were that small, we're a bootstrap company. So we, you know, when we grew from that three to where we are now, it's been off of contract service revenues, really. Where we are now in that like from scratch kitchen, as I just described it, where we can go all the way from idea to engineered form fit, perfectly developable antibodies on the other ends. That wasn't always our full breadth. So we used to really just kind of stick to that simple binder discovery piece and very simple characterization. Mm-hmm. Now we have those like much more advanced things to talk about, and also like a lot more project management firepower to be able to kind of like make sure that all of those different pieces and like the orchestral movement that really kind of equates to a lot of the antibody discovery hands-on work is all like happening at the right points, right, relative to each other. So we've added a lot of like good talent and like throughput to be able to do some more exciting things there. But I mean, just in general, all of those 100 antibody discovery programs look different. like every antigen is like a Pokemon, I would say. Like they all have their own special capability set. Some are like closely related to each other. Each is like definitely their own beast. And there's like always things that can surprise you about different antigens. You know, we're going after them for a reason. They're bioactive or something. So like, you know, every single project that we do is really influenced to some degree by the target biology, you know, application format downstream, the company type that we're working with, if they're like virtual and need end-to-end work, or if they're like a big pharma company that needs a very specific piece of their workflow augmented. Mm-hmm. It's hard to compare across all of our projects when we're also comparing across like many other diverse pools of factors.
I like that analogy. So are you planning to get, you know, increasingly more and more difficult Pokemon projects to do, or you still do anything, you know, the easiest projects and the maybe most difficult challenging targets and everything in between?
I mean, the reality is, so like at Abaris, we don't really nominate our own targets to work on. So, you know, that's where our partner companies come in to, you know, really bring that target biology focus. And we bring on the other side the like discovery technology to make the antibodies that fit that criteria. So, you know, if we're tasked with easy criteria, so be it. But that's really kind of not what's happening more so now. You know, easier targets have been more well explored, and there's antibodies out there available for license and stuff like that. There's more pathways for people on the like, easier sets of antigens to develop a product without having to do novel discovery. for all of those really challenging antigens, that's never the case. So those come up a lot. I think there's obviously a lot of challenges to solve, and how the more difficult antigens can be handled. But I would say market pressure is definitely not a problem, because there's a lot of eyes on those ones. And the carrot, I think, is definitely there for people to develop good solutions.
Sorry, I lost you there for a second, but I think we are back. Cool.
Oh.
I was going to say that. So the trend is probably towards more and more challenging targets, obviously.
Yes.
Do you ever say, this target is super challenging, maybe this is not right to even try right now, and we should revisit it once we are a company of 200, or once another enabling technology will come and fit and solve that puzzle?
That's a good question. I think the answer is sometimes effectively yes, that we do answer that way. But it's usually, there's an arithmetic, I think, that goes into it. We there are things that we have that are available now that are tools that are effective for us for a lot of these antigens. I cling to the idea that the technologies are available really to solve a lot of these puzzles. It's really just how creative we are and how we stitch them together. So just because it's been intractable, it doesn't usually make us shy away. However, we do structure things in those cases in a way where we don't need to spend all of our budget before we have any reassurance that we're actually developing good antibodies. So we can check serum titers and mice, for example, and things like that, to make sure that we have something before we decide to expend a lot of effort and mining for them.
Good. I'll push on that a little bit more. So if, let's say, I'm a biotech company and I have a target, what would be the ideal customer for you to come in with a target? Are you thinking of projects that are, somewhat challenging, that they say, here's the GPCR or the ion channel, get me some functional antibody, and that's the perfect project for you? You say, okay, we'll be back in 12 months, and then plan the whole thing out, and you kind of co-develop it? Or you just, do everything in-house, and one day say, these are your antibodies, go do functional testing or in vitro testing for it?
Gotcha, yeah. Good question. For us at Averis, we have a really strict stick to what you're good at mentality. So what we're good at is generating antibodies. We're not a development engine or anything like that. What we've just the way that we've grown over time, we were a bootstrap company, so we used to be very hungry for discovery fees. So we really operated mainly in a contract research fee for service manner as a young company. But now that we are of the size that we are, and the throughput that we have, it opens us up to be a little bit more flexible in business terms. So reality, our project flow every year ends up being a blend that we try and mix together of fee for service work that, as I mentioned, for the big pharma companies that want to augment a very specific piece of their workflow, maybe just a lot of binders or a lot of recombinant expression or something like that. Those relationships that we've had for a while. But then also with these VC funded biotechs or small, medium drug development groups, sometimes the larger ones as well, we have the opportunity to use a more partnership based format, agree on deliverables that we want to set, and then build incentives around that together to have a much more collaborative approach in the project instead of transactional. So we like those. We have some of those published on our website. If anyone's interested in those, we do have some space for them next year still.
Okay. That's a good shout out. Actually, I'll compile everything you would be looking for from our audience maybe recruitment for the Boston area for your new roles that you're advertising, or more projects. I'm sure we'll just circulate it at the end of this event and thereafter. And for the audience, you people out there having questions, there's a message section on the right-hand side if you are new to AirMeet. Click that one. Under that, there's a section called Q&A. If you have any questions, just type it in. In 5 minutes, we will start bringing them up to the stage and have Ryan answer them. Kids.
Yeah, ask me some questions.
I have another one.
Sure.
So there's a lot happening in the drug discovery space, both with the next generation sequencing, machine learning. You hear about AlphaFold and all of that stuff. How do you process all of that? And where do you think that all these next technologies fit in?
So like for antibody discovery, like yeah. these new like technology offerings and things like that. You're asking like which horses am I betting on there, or
yeah, is that your question? Do you see them do you see them mature enough that they will have any applications in near time? Are you planning to bring any of them in house? Are you just monitoring them from a safe distance?
I mean, I think the like the core thread that I would pull, maybe for a lot of like the technology advancement in antibody discovery technology in general, is the importance of big data. So just like the more data that we can accumulate for each of these antibodies, the faster that we can process it in parallel. That's the boon for everyone's success here, I think, in the antibody discovery space now. Now that the antibodies that we want to discover are, we're in the second or third wave of trying to go after them as like a scientific community. So all of that like past data on project failures, project successes, groups, I know big pharma groups are using that to try and guide their internal drug development programs. As a service provider, we're also able to look at our process data in like a longitudinal way and use it to help us guide how we set projects up in the future. So there's always some degree of iterative improvement that's gone on over time, using that data that we generate. And now that we're kind of getting into our next wave of development where we might have some more, or we're actively hiring for some more like software oriented people. We're a very like biology focused company. We're really thinking about how we can mobilize all of that for ourselves the best. And I think the companies out there that you mentioned that are like doing these cool, like trying to like do NGS on polyclonal, antibody batches or mass spec based antibody discovery and all these different things, and the in silico design and all those different strategies that people apply. I think they're all like reaching some sort of maturity. We'll just kind of figure out where the convergence point is, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exciting space to watch. I don't think one of them is going to be the winner or anything, but maybe a combination of them might be the ideal outcome. And like you said, you've done more than 100 projects, and each one of them is slightly different, so different tools for different problems eventually.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I mean, just the way that our like industry of like CROs works together and like, webs together. They get snapped up by these like bigger conglomerates and things like that to build integrated offerings. But, it's really a bunch of different technology pieces that are plugged together, that are all kind of Frankenstein together in the end. So we'll see what Frankenstein combination makes the most sense. And I feel like the challenge is it's going to be like different Frankenstein combinations for like the different antigens that are left to go after.
Yeah. I see a couple of questions there that might be asking more about these Frankenstein combos, but a nice, I think, starter here. I'll bring it to the stage and read it. Congrats on all the success at Abveris. What Abveris' first project looked like, if you recall, services offered, approach, etc.
So our first project, I think we immunized one or two mice with a protein. We did a fusion, and then we like maybe pulled like 5 or 10 hybridomas that bound to that protein, which is like simple, like two reagents, like target versus tag ELISA screening. I think our second one was looking for like a immunostaining reagent and a zebrafish, where we just like generate a couple antibodies that bound peptides. They were very boring compared to like the complexity of the work that we do now. But they were really exciting at the time.
Yeah, I imagine. Still sounds exciting by the way how you describe them. And yeah, everybody has to start from somewhere. So good. Got that out of the way. Next one from Andrew Moyes. If we ignore computational advances for a moment, what do you think are the most interesting, exciting advancements in the industry?
Oh, man. That's a good question. I struggle with this because so many of the things that I'm like coming to, like, you know, better resolution of like, you know, structures and stuff like that are all enabled by big data. So many of the angles that I want to come to do come back to like computational advances. But I mean, interesting, exciting advancements in the industry is, I don't know, there's just a lot more data now, especially for like biologics to work off of. So there's so many more. God damn it, that's also data focused. I don't know. I would have to think about this one. Sorry, Andrew.
Okay. You know what? I will leave it as Mark as unanswered. So.
Yeah, we can come back to that one. I don't know. What about you? What do you think?
You know what? I don't know if Andrew is up for it, but I believe you can bring people to the stage. So let's give it a go.
Good evening.
Yeah, Andrew, hot seat. Tell us what you think.
There's a reason I asked this question. It's because I don't have an answer for it. Like, that's the thing. I'm a machine learning person. Everything I do is data and machine learning, and I think I tend to neglect maybe other advances. So I was just curious if there was anything that had come to your mind that maybe I would have missed. But I'm glad it's not just me that is focused on the patient and the machine, the data and stuff. So yeah, I don't have an answer either.
I came up with an answer now, I would say, but it's also kind of one that I don't fully believe in. Okay. I'd say it's the like willingness of people to try like new formats and things like that. That's something I've noticed like a proliferation of just in the time that we've been working, that there's like, it's more often than not that we're working with some kind of crazy hack together, multi-specific or things like that. And like the adventurousness there is kind of refreshing for a lot of these programs. I also, it seems like, you know, people like from like patient perspective, like with, you know, newer things being approved recently, there's like a renewed or not renewed interest, but spike in interest in like cell therapies and things like that, that I think are like sensitizing people to the penetration of gene therapies potentially into their like drug cabinet,
sure.
Per se. But then, I guess also just the countrywide resistance to the vaccine here might paint a different picture. So I guess everything in context.
Sure. What do you think had driven, you'd mentioned sort of a greater willingness to try different platforms. What do you think has driven that?
I think the thing is that like the different platforms that I just mentioned like aren't really that that risky like from like a research body perspective. Like there's so much there, and it seems like it's kind of like an inevitability that we're gonna start having like nanobody based drugs and like cell therapy based drugs and all these other things that I'm failing to mention. But now that they're actually like validated as like clinically approved and things like that, it adds like I think quite a lot of kindling into the fire, and definitely puts like a lot more carrots there dangling out there for people.
Slightly more tested ground as well, I suppose. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, always try and set up things with one variable, right? Like, so if you're gonna like go after a new format that's not FDA approved, like everything else should be super tight. But if you're gonna go after like a really tough intractable target, like maybe all the other approaches that you should take should be pretty de-risked, because that one's gonna be quite risky.
So I want to follow up that one. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
I'll remove Andrew from the stage for a second. Let's see how that one
See you,
goes.
Andrew.
There are a few ones that are, I think, more related to that thread of conversation. So one of them is from Ben. I'll bring it on the stage. In your view, what are the biggest barriers to the industry getting 100 novel medicines to market ASAP?
That's
A big sigh.
I think it's a hard one for me to answer, because I think like where we sit is so far away from like approved drug that it almost feels like there's like not really that much of an impact at our point, because our point's the start point. It's not that there's not that much of an impact, it's just that we don't I mean, we know that like our speed matters for our partners. Like we know that we need to apply different techniques that have been applied before, because there's not antibodies against these. It's there's a sure shot that what was tried in the past didn't work. But I mean, as far as like barriers to get those into patients, that's a I feel like a very complicated situation with the clinical trial execution. I think on our side now, we can collect more data about the failures and continue to use that to advise our discovery. So, if there's things that are, and I think that there's actually like a fair amount of that going on already with like antibody, like developability screening and stuff like that. And the focus, I think, is kind of across the industry right now, and like developing more antibody engineering offerings is using all of that data about like past drugs and quirks that made them poorly manufacturable or highly immunogenic and things like that, and learn from that for the future ones. So hopefully that improves our win rate.
So something there on top of that, maybe a bit closer to your wheelhouse. Again from Ben, your diverse map mice. Oh, I'll bring it up to stage. Your diverse map mice provide increased epitopic diversity. Can you talk about that? So how do you define it? How do you measure it? And maybe this is a way to go and do more of those novel medicine on the back of that.
Cool. Yeah, happy to answer that. So that's our what our company really started around. So we have a couple of different mouse strains that we work with that have a special transgene introduced. They make mouse antibodies. So unlike some of those like human antibody discovery tools out there, the antibodies are fully murine. The difference with these mice is that they have leaky immune tolerance, and they exhibit this hyperimmune phenotype that's like the label that we assign them. It just means that we basically, with this platform, tend to more often break immune tolerance, or very frequently break immune tolerance, and identify antibodies that are binding to epitopes that are entirely conserved between species. That can often be really, really helpful when we're looking for like functional antibodies and things like that. for intuitive reasons. So that technology is really helpful for us. In those mice, we also get to like keep a broader repertoire generally per mouse. So we tend to have like a higher efficiency of screening and kind of get to take a deeper look. So that's a cool technology that we have. We don't share the identity of the transgene that's been introduced. We keep it as a trade secret. I actually blinded myself to it because I'm Irish and my skin flushes if you like catch me in a liar. So I just never wanted to actually know what it is. I have some suspicions, but but yeah, it's trade secret technology. Sets us up really well for a high throughput humanization workflow that we've built with it now. So we found that with our mouse because of the like close to germline-ness of some of the sequences that we can retrieve in that workflow, especially when we're using the beacon. It sets us up really easily for humanization. And we built this really cool new high throughput humanization workflow to like have those sequences humanized just like a week after we identify them to just like move right to humanize and skip the intermediate step of testing mouse antibodies in a drug program.
Good, good. I see that there are a couple of more questions here, both on the Q&A and in the private chat. But I just suggest we stick to the timeline. We are already 2 minutes back. So Ryan, thank you very much for joining us today. We will take more questions in the networking area. So everybody who would like to hang around for a while, Ryan, I think you have another 30 minutes to be with us.
Yeah, let me take a look just to make sure.
What about that?
I'll leave when I have to. It's midday here.
Cool, that's great. So everyone who wants to hang around, come and join us on Table One. See you soon.
Uh